Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a diehard Simpsons podcast.
You know it.
My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
And basically, we've started the show. It's going to be an episode by episode look at the classic TV series, The Simpsons.
A retrospective, if you will.
If you will. we're starting with season four of this show.
Yeah.
And a reason I think it's a good number, it's where
it would make sense in a way to start season one, episode one, but they're just not good enough.
Yeah. I mean, there's some gems in there, don't get me wrong, but I think this is where it really starts.
This is where it starts to take off.
Yeah, it's at its peak almost. But
like the funny thing as well about season four is that I always used to hold it like as part of like 1 to 4, and then from 5 on it was good. But as I got older and I went back and watched season four, really, I was like, oh, that was season four. Was season four.
So many good ones. I was looking at the list there. There's so many.
Yeah, me too. Like the whole episode, I was like, oh wow, I was totally wrong. This is a great season. So I think it was a good one to start
from. A lot of people are, they think peak Simpsons or best Simpsons is like seasons 4 to 9 or 3 to 9 around there.
Possibly stretches 10, 11,
possibly 11 is too far, I think. I really liked the episode when Alec Baldwin came basinger, but that's 10, like they started to get like that, like, you know. Anyway, so we're gonna kick it off with season 4, episode 1, Camp Krusty.
Interesting about this episode, may I just say, in that this episode actually went completely under the radar for me up until like a couple of years ago. Like all this time, I only seen it for the first time maybe about 4 or 5 years
really
ago. And so it was a real hidden gem when it was on. I was like, what is this? Like, I never seen this. Like, and it was just,
I mean, you can't nowadays in your life, you're never going to get that again. No. But it was great when you'd stumble across
I just stumbled across. So for that reason, even this episode has a little bit of a special place.
The one like that for me was when Homer found the sugar. People were like talking about it. I was like, what are you talking about? But like the episode where Homer finds all the sugar, and I just, until I saw it, I had no idea like what was going on. So we'll start off with a bit of trivia, I guess, before we get into episode.
You got any gems yourself?
There's one I found that it was originally supposed to be season 3. This episode was going to be part of season 3.
Yeah, it was like a leftover from season 3 or a holdover, as they call it.
I think it serves as a pretty good opener.
Yeah, definitely.
For the whole end of summer.
Yeah, back it's a to real school. Kind of standalone
sort of
episode.
Well, that's funny as well, because they're saying it was originally pitched as the idea for the Simpsons movie all those years ago.
For the Simpsons
movie? Like, as in, they tried to make it so many times before they actually made the Simpsons movie. But
yeah, I've seen it.
This was like one of the first pitches, this story. Like, and you could see that.
I could definitely see it. Yeah. James L. Brooks was apparently the one. Yeah. Like, he's seen the episode in full and then suggested it for like a movie. But apparently, like, they really struggle to even get 22 minutes.
It is a bit light at times in the episode.
We'll get into that.
So I can
see why they didn't go for that.
Yeah. One other piece of trivia. Ralph's surname is revealed. I think it's for the first time that he's referred to as Ralph Wiggum in this episode. Yeah. And, like, Lisa's, like, throwing a parcel. She's like, Wiggum.
Oh, right.
And like Ralph puts his hand up, and it's like, I think he was just Ralph before then, and then the character, like, he even acts like more grown up in this episode than.
There was one scene, I don't know if you noticed, even in like we'll probably get to it, but where I think it was when she was throwing the parcel, that it's like he's just real skinny in one scene.
Yeah, and like this is when it seems like, okay, we're gonna make him this character, and over the years they start to. Yeah. Change him from, like, he just was like a face in the crowd, and it's like, okay, we're gonna pick this guy, and he's gonna become weirder and weirder, or whatever. Like,
is Smithers still black?
I don't think he's been black since season one or two. I think, like, they always blend in together.
I don't understand. Like, did he go through like a Michael Jackson sort of phase?
I think it's just,
or
it's
just one make him day
yellow,
he's white,
make him yellow, There's just a bit as well. There's a couple of lines that were interesting. I felt like there's a line about Princess Diana.
Yeah.
And he's at Wimbledon.
Is it true? You're Princess Diana? Yeah.
And that was edited out after her death in syndication. Kind of like, remember when Burns was caught sucking on Maggie's soother in one of the episodes? And he's like, damn you, paparazzo. Like, that was bleeped out shortly after.
Oh, really?
So he'd be like, damn you, and then just be like, blank. Shortly after Prince. No, seriously, after
there's
her
death. There's a few different things I've noticed The Simpsons do that. Yeah, like, that's not the original.
Yeah, but it's just...
I wonder why, though. I mean, I get why, but...
I think only in the UK, maybe not in the US or whatever, but, like, you know...
It seems...
Like, the episode I watched, it had that line with Princess Diana.
I get it. If there... Like, I get it more if there's, like, a big... If there's, like, a big... like, if anything to do with, like, 9/11 or something, like...
Yeah.
Like, I remember Jimmy Eat World had an album that was coming out right when 9/11 happened, and it was called Bleed American, and then they just changed it to Jimmy Eat World because like these little things. If it's a big disaster, I get it, but I think if it's happened before, like, just let it.
It's just funny. I always remember like when I was younger, and there's just one last thing. The song Hail to Thee, Camp Krusty, apparently has two different recordings. And
one's a little blue.
Quite possibly. But apparently they put them on, they're on every Simpsons CD soundtrack. That song.
It's like a staple of every soundtrack, really.
Pretty much like I liked it. We'll talk about it later on anyway.
I will also just add, just if anyone's interested, that this episode aired on the 24th of September 1992. A whole 25 years ago. And it got a Nielsen rating of 13.5, which equates to 12.6 million viewers. So it was a really...
You're throwing a lot of numbers at me.
Oh,
Andy.
Yes. Oh, I got prepared. Well, it seems like a lot. I mean, these days, you'd never get something with that.
No.
I mean, I guess there's like...
What? I think it was because there was only three channels or whatever.
I just thought it was interesting, even as it was on the rise. Like, I'd love to get into the numbers in like season 6, 7.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got. Really, wise. Should we crack on into the episode?
Yeah.
All right then.
Hi, kids. Only 1 week left to sign up for the best of summer ever at Camp Krusty. Hey, ho, ho, hey, ho, hey. Camp Krusty is built on an actual Indian burial ground. We've got archery, wallet making, the whole Megillah. And for you fat kids, my exclusive program of diet and ridicule will really get results. And the best part is, when you come to Camp Krusty, you'll spend the summer with me on his dungeon.
Okay, let's dive right into season 4, episode 1 of Camp The Simpsons,
Krusty.
Camp Krusty.
Should we start with the couch gag?
Yeah, I think that should be a nice little staple for us on every episode. Yeah, and see how we feel.
In this one, it was basically they run into the couch and the Flintstones are just sitting there. And
what was your initial impression of this couch gag?
Well, I liked it, but I think I've been spoiled by
having seen
all through the seasons how they get more creative. So, like, it's nice, it's simple, and I'd say at the time it was a real, like, oh, look, it's Flintstone.
I find it quite comforting. It's like, like you said, it's nice, it's simple.
Yeah, it's simple.
And it's like, ah, oh, that's good.
I did like the simplicity.
You know, what would you give it?
Couch gag, I would give it 5 couches and a cushion. Out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
How
about you?
7.
Oh, 7 couches.
7 couches.
Oh.
Just because, as I said,
it's comfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
Which
is what a good couch gag should be.
It's all about the comfort.
Yeah.
So basically, we get into the start of the episode, and they're giving them their grades.
Oh, yeah. It's like last day of school.
Yeah, the last day of school.
Bart's getting his...
And basically, Bart needs a C average.
Yeah.
They both need a C average to go to Camp Krusty.
He's getting his grades off Krabappel.
Yeah.
I like this. I had this down on my notes. Like, F minus. Like, the minus is so unnecessary.
Yeah,
there.
It's
like,
always personal.
Yeah.
And then Principal Skinner comes on the PA.
Well, I think it's first, it's like... he's like, if I don't get a C average, I can't go to Camp Krusty. And she changes them.
Oh yeah, changes like, the monster. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
he like gives her like a little snack on the arse. Much obliged, doll. Like, oh, Bart. And then Principal Skinner comes on.
Like, and like, and I have to say, Principal Skinner is one of those voices that I just love.
Smile every time he starts talking. But like, I always expect him like a message from Principal Skinner from the principal's office.
Like, I trust you remember to bring in your implements of destruction. Basically, the kids start tearing up the class and sawing
You know,
their
if you didn't think something was a bit off with Krabappel giving him C's and him smacking her ass. You know, when all the kids start pulling baseball bats and, you know, a plank with a nail through it and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden they are wrecking the school.
Yeah.
School's there for summer, I believe.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Really obvious that it's a dream. You're just sort of waiting for him to wake up.
Yeah. Somebody put a torch to these permanent records.
So basically they wake up.
Well, Bart wakes up. Homer wakes up Bart. Yeah.
And he said he dreamed it was the last day of school, and it is.
Yeah.
And basically, what I liked about it as well is that when, I don't know if I'm skipping forward, but when they're at the breakfast table and they're eating, like, absolute pigs.
Yeah, of course. Like,
it's the most, I've noticed it before where they're, like, really eating sloppily, but this was the noisiest I think I've ever heard of.
I just like, just before we get ahead there, it's like, how do I know this isn't some beautiful dream too? And like, Homer like thinks like, ah! Yeah. Oh no.
Or Homer, like, what does he do? He slaps him or something like that? He's like a pinch is more traditional. Yeah. And then basically they're at the breakfast table, and I think we've actually got a clip.
Yeah, we're going to do a clip here.
Homer, you do remember your promise to the children?
Sure do. When you're 18, you're out the door.
No, Dad. You promised if Bart and I got C averages, we could go to Camp Krusty. And with no false modesty, you're looking at one happy camper.
Well, just remember, when you see my report card, they got this whole new grading system this year. It now goes DBAC.
Now listen, boy, we have an understanding, and you'd better keep your end of it. I don't think I'd be any kind of a father if you got D's and I let you go to Camp Krusty.
But, Dad...
Son, if you really want something in this life, you have to work for it. Now, quiet. They're about to announce the lottery numbers.
17.
Don't!
32.
Don't!
5.
Don't!
8.
Woohoo!
47.
Don't!
I was just looking at my notes there after that clip, and it's like, I have written down, like, Lotto Gang, still funny.
I love it's like, the Lotto Gang.
It's like, you can't get by, and so, you know, so easy, and it's like... Okay, here are the lotto numbers.
Yeah. I love the fact that it's like, don't, and then there's one like, don't. Like, woohoo, don't.
Again, it's just even simple things like, woohoo. Let me ask you, just because it's start of season 4 here.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, like, we're starting off with a Bard episode, very much Bard episode. Yeah. Like, so I always felt as the season went on that, like, it became less about Bart being the main character and more about Homer being the main character. So this really seems like you're talking about like a holdover from season 3.
Yeah.
Like, there were certainly more kid-centric episodes.
Yeah, looking back on it, when I look at the like all the different, like the end of season 3 and season 4, like it does seem more like a season 3 episode.
Yeah.
You know, like it, like that, like it's by kids for kids.
And then like this next few seasons starts. Most of the episodes are about Homer and marriage.
Yeah.
You know, Bart is relegated to like a little side story. But they're all still good. Like,
it was definitely a good move.
Like, yeah.
And then I guess the next scene is they're clearing out their lockers.
Oh yeah. Nice. What did you think of his combination?
I only just noticed it the last time. It's like 36, 24,
36. 36, like, nice.
I like it.
What do you think? I never really understood the gym shorts gag here, where he's
they're
like...
They're stiff, like...
Yeah, and it's like, okay, so he just hasn't used them, but they've become...
Yeah, I didn't understand what that was.
Does it happen with shorts? I know it's a cartoon, but...
I guess if they're, like... I don't even know.
No, I've never really made any sense. I know it's trying to indicate that he hasn't used them in a long time. But
it was a,
this is a bit odd for me.
It's called a throwaway gag.
Yeah.
And then we're with
Miss Hoover.
Oh, where she's giving them all the...
Yeah. And Lisa gets her first B.
Yeah.
Which
I really like the way she freaked out.
Yeah, that was really good. Like, I'm dirty. I'm so dirty.
Straight away. Yeah. And then, or she's got like, she's like, maybe you want to reconsider.
She's going back to Miss Hoover. Like, Lisa, you're hurting me.
Basically, it goes to, then it cuts to Garoppolo. She's giving correcting Bart's test.
Yeah.
I love the line where he's like, I would also like to, as I gaze upon your beauty, I've never seen an angel fly so low. It's like, what an insult. It's like, that's supposed to like turn it for him. Yeah. Like, he's like, oh, okay. But what I like about it is that, like, because he tells Garoppolo that he needs a seed to go to Camp Krusty and all this. And like she just really doesn't
care. Lets him have it. Like, it's like, she's like, have a delightful summer. It's like, boom, pow.
That was one of the things I made a note about, is that the teachers really don't seem to give a shit about the kids.
I've always loved, like, it's only as I got older as well, like the Miss Hoover thing, where it's like, she's always just miserable. No, like, it's like, I had Lyme disease.
Like, they really don't, with the exception of at the end where, like, they're all, where, like, well, first of all, there's Garoppolo and Hoover, and then you have all the teachers waiting. It's like, 3, 2, 1. And then, like, everyone runs out. And then, except for that one teacher, it's like, wait, you didn't hear about how World War II ended.
I have that in my notes as well. Yeah.
he seems to be genuinely the only one interested to teach.
We won! I didn't actually realize when I was looking at it. I was like, what's the World War II gag? And then it was only when I rewatched it again, I was like, oh, very good.
I love the fact that they're all going, USA!
Yeah.
USA!
That's great.
And then, so
what did you think of just before that we go, like, they had like 5, 4, 3, but they were cutting to everybody, like you're saying, it was like Willie pouring the scotch in the teacher's there, and it's like, Wendell is like in the nurse's office, like Milhouse is getting plunged, it's all these different little screenshots of what's going around the school. I really like that, like, you don't see that too much going forward, these little things, kind of like, it's something you'd see in Hey Arnold or something like that. Like, it's like an actual, made it feel like a cartoon rather than a comedy show that's just animated.
But as well, like, it always actually made me, like, at the time, like, even when you're in school, like, you assume that you're the only one, like, as the child or whatever,
who's excited. Exactly, yeah.
And you don't actually really think that, like, I'd say the teachers are just as happy to be in.
Of course they
are. Like, how much more annoying is their day than
our day absolutely. As
kids, you know what I mean? So, absolutely.
So, after everybody goes, they jump over to Seymour Skinner and Willie.
Yeah.
And they're doing their usual end of summer chat, you know? What do you do this summer? But,
sure, you give those toilets
a good scrubbing. Yeah, I love Skinner when he's going away, when he has his shades on. It's a great look. Like,
where's he going? Like, he has no life.
But Willie mutters under his breath, "Ay, you silk wearing buttercup." I was like, "Is that like? Maybe it's not the first one, but it's one of the first ones."
It sounded like one of the first ones because it's like it seemed almost like if you'd have just placed that joke into like season 9,
it would have
seemed out of place. You know, almost because it's like he comes up with so much more.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like the couch gag.
It's exactly.
It's the first or, you know, at the start.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, yeah.
But, and then basically on the way home, Bart's changing his grades because he gets all D's.
Yeah.
He's changing them to A's.
A pluses. A plus. It's like, and it's a D minus. So even as an A minus rather than A plus, like.
Or even B's, as I was thinking of.
Well, I don't know, like. Anyway. I'm drawing a B here.
And so basically then they're watching the commercial for Camp Krusty, which
I have a note here, and it's like, is this the first time you're starting to see the Krusty the Clown persona that's sleazy and
a bit grumbling before, but this is like the first one where he's like corrupt.
Yeah, you know? And like, you know, he's like, even these fat kids, and it like turns into a skinny kid like, oh my god, you know, the hands of the face. Like.
And also I noticed there's just a bear pushing a girl.
Yeah, I have that written down as well. Like,
it's like, what world is this Camp Krusty in?
He's really becoming larger than life in this episode.
So basically then Bart goes out to Homer, who's mowing
everything. Great.
Like, just not paying attention.
Again, I love when you see Homer doing some stuff, like,
just doing housework.
Yeah, like trying to like, I don't know, I'm thinking of like when he's trying to assemble things and stuff like that as well. Like, it's always just good for a laugh.
Interested or getting annoyed.
Yeah, like, it's like, fiddle-dee-dee. That will require a tetanus shot.
When Bart hands him the report and he instantly spots, he's like, "You don't think much of me,
yeah,
boy." And then even he says, "You know, a D turns into a B so much easier. You got greedy." Do you think, because then basically he's asking him, "Can he still go?" And he lets him go anyway because he doesn't want him hanging around the house. Did you think that was nice, or did you think that he's like, "Geez, he's not a, you know."
I have it written down that it's a nice little tender moment between the two of them. It's not great parenting, but you know.
Didn't Homer win, like, Parent of the Year?
In America?
Yeah, like, they had, like, actual people in this, like, list, and Homer won it, like, a couple of years.
What?
Yeah, and they had all these different examples of why, and I guess sort of nice moments from different episodes, but
come on.
I don't know how much stock you can take.
You're negligent.
Cartoon character wins. But,
that was a nice little moment, and then they cap it off with, like, now reach under there and try and get that out from you. You've got small hands.
Yeah,
and then I'll just throw there. I was like, oh, never mind.
And then I guess after that, then they're all happy and they're going to camp, which I believe we have a clip of as well.
Yeah.
So we will play that clip right now.
We'll see you when you get back from Image Enhancement Camp.
Spare me your euphemisms. It's Fat Camp for Daddy's Chubby Little Secret.
You promised you wouldn't make a scene.
Goodbye, my special little guy. Lisa, watch out for poison ivy. Remember, leaves of three, let it be.
Leaves of four, eat some more.
Goodbye.
Goodbye,
sweetie.
Bye-bye.
I see you every day.
Don't look in my closet. In fact, stay out of my room altogether.
If the pets die, don't replace them. I'll know.
Don't come back.
I only just noticed that when I was playing the clips to myself. Like, what a who's this person?
What a great little clip, and everybody going crazy like, woohoo! There's some good bits in here though. I liked with Bart and these. Well, first of all, obviously Martin and his parents is great. That little exchange.
It's like best of luck at what was it, Image Enhancement Camp.
Yeah. But I liked when Bart and Lisa were leaving, and he was like. He's like, don't look in my closet. In fact, he's like, don't go in my room altogether. And then this actually got to me a bit, like, because Lisa was like, if the pets die, don't replace them. And, like, my cat passed away about 3 weeks ago. It's like, like, I was thinking to myself, because I actually thought, like, jokingly to myself, like, I wonder if I'd, like, got a replacement cat. Would you be able to pull that off? Or
like something from, like, Meet the Parents or something like that,
you know.
But I guess then... Is the next scene where they're at the, like, in the, where...
They're, like, welcome to camp, I think, is the next scene, and so...
What I like is the fact that, like, and let me just check my notes, because do we have a clip of this one? We do actually have a clip, so let's just play the clip first, and then we'll talk about it.
Hi, kids! Welcome to Camp Krusty! I'll see you in a few weeks. Until then... I've turned things over to my bestest buddy in the whole wide world.
Mr. Black.
I want you to treat...
Mr. Black.
...with the same respect you would give me. Now here's...
Mr. Black. Thank you, Krusty, and welcome, children. I am Mr. Black, your head counselor. For the past 15 years, I was president of Euro Krusty Land. Until it blew up. I'll take any questions you might have. You, and then one more.
Can we call you Uncle Blackie?
No. Last question.
When do we get to see Krusty?
He will be along eventually. In the meantime, our counselors, Dolph, Jimbo, and Kearney, will be happy to handle any problems you may have.
Looks like we got ourselves a troublemaker.
What I actually love about that clip is at the very start.
It's a great clip.
It's one of my favorite scenes from the whole episode because it's like, first of all, you think Krusty's there. It's like, hi, kids. Like, and then like it pans out. He's on just playing on this like cruddy TV. Yeah. It's like, my great and best friend, Mr. Black. That voice is so funny. Is that Harry Shearer?
Yeah, I think so. I was going to say.
Does he do Principal Skinner as well?
He does Skinner. He does Monty Smithers.
I think he might be one of my favorite
voice guys.
Like,
he has a lot of the best ones.
Like, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
I thought it was so funny every time. Mr. Black. And even at the end where it's like Jimbo, Curly, and what's the other
poor one? Dolph, Kearney, and Jimbo.
Is that Dolph?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
The guy with the step, like, poor Wendell. Poor Wendell has a little cough and he gets marched off.
Looks like we got ourselves a comedian.
Next scene is Homer and Marge in the shower. I completely forgot about this. Like
this, the Homer and Marge seem to be just having a whole summer sex. Good
for them. Good for them.
Like tantric yoga sex.
Like she's in the shower. She's like, you can have the shower to yourself. Like, I don't want it to myself.
I don't know if it's just me, but I always like to. I just like to think how, like, it's like, what if the camera just didn't cut away? You just see what's going on. It certainly wouldn't be so funny anymore. Like, you're watching it, you just see the smile just draining from your face, like, oh, God. But, and then I guess it cuts, and then it's funny, then it cuts back between, you see how much fun they're having, and then
it's to the cuts cabin. Back
to the camp, and they're living in squalor. Or
I think it's like they get introduced to their cabin first, and it's there's like a rattlesnake. And then Bart goes, oh, it's going to be fine, you know, because of the Krusty brand seal of approval, and wipes it off. And
I kind of like that in the episode, that Bart is sort of holding out.
He's such an optimist, like, you know.
He's such a Krusty fan that he's holding out, that he's holding out for Krusty to come and say it. Or, well, not even at that stage, he just assumes that it's fine.
Because it's going to be great, it's Krusty, Camp Krusty, Krusty's the best. And it cuts over then to Krusty doing product testing. He's like, touches the glove, like, ah! He's like, ooh, forgot to warn you, that gets extremely hot. You leave it plugged in for any amount of time.
I love those characters as well. It's like, ooh, I forgot to warn you. Like, you know, like, just these crooks.
Yeah, and then it's like, he looks around and all, everything else, sparks flying out. He's like, that's fine. I'm off to Wimbledon.
I did kind of like as well, I don't know if that happened before or after that, like the scene where, like, Lisa's about to get in that boat.
I think that's later on.
The canoe.
I think that's coming up because the next scene is them roasting pine cones.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, isn't this supposed to be marshmallows? Like,
But then
the next scene is Lisa on the boat.
The only thing I liked, or what's the only thing? It was just, was it, who's it, Curly?
Dolph.
The Dolph.
No, it's Kearney, maybe.
Curly, as I said.
Kearney would make sense, though, because he's bald, like.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense, right? Anyway. And we're just like, is this safe? It's like, well, it ain't getting any safer. I don't know why, but I just found that line quite good. Like, it's true, it's not getting any safer.
And then we cut over to my favourite scene in the episode. No, the next scene is at the weight loss camp.
It's probably my favourite scene from the episode.
Yeah, me too. One of my favourite of all time, I think.
It is. And as well, because it took me so by surprise almost, because when I was watching this episode for the first time, like just a couple of years ago, like that bit just, I didn't see it coming, and I was just guffawing with laughter. It's like, we're not leaving.
Yeah, it's like, what is it? All right, you balls of panther pinks. I want to see Crispo coming out of those pores. We're not leaving until this Christmas ham gives me a pull-up.
Imagine it just gets right in your face. Yeah. It's like, until this Christmas ham. Oh, so good. I love it. And then I guess the next scene is the song, is it?
I think it's the song, and then it, you know, which is great. And we were
more of a fan of the song.
Yeah, I was a fan. If you weren't. I just liked everything that was going on with it. And, like, I always have in my memory, you know, there's a scene where they're, like, running down the hill and there's rocks chasing them.
Yeah.
While, you know, the guys are singing the song over it. And that image is, like, burned into my brain because I remember there was a game that you could get on the Game Boy. It was Escape from Camp Krusty. But that was the picture on the cartridge. Like,
that was
like just in my ingrained into my brain.
I guess I just had a problem with the fact that I went to like a second verse.
Okay.
This is a real filler moment here. Like you can see that they ran up to about
every soundtrack, my friend.
Every Simpsons soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's like the last song or the first song.
I don't know. It's on every soundtrack.
I wonder why they hold it in such high regard. Yeah. Like, it just seems like a real throwaway minute or two.
Anyway, then they go over to the food hall. And they're like, oh, what? And they're putting this slop.
Actual gruel.
Yeah. But it's a Krusty brand imitation gruel. 9 out of 10 orphans can't tell the difference.
It looked like it was just grey slop. Grey slop.
And then it's a great cut then afterwards. It's Mr. Black and the three counselors. It's like a giant ham, and they're sitting around smoking cigars. Oh, yeah. And they're brand new. It's like, gentlemen, to evil.
I love that character, Mr. Black. There was a scene, and I don't know if it's right next. The one, is it like the cabin? Like the roof comes off?
No, oh, that's coming on then.
Is that the next scene?
That, no, that's a little bit longer.
Oh, is it?
So it's it cuts back to Homer and Marge, and Homer comes out of the bathroom and he's lost 5 pounds.
Yeah.
And 2 new hairs. He has 4 hairs.
Gets into bed. And
almost again. Yeah, we're again. Back. Again.
Is that out of him?
And then it's the guys are sleeping in, like, it's back to Camp Krusty. The two guys are sleeping in, like, mail sacks or something, like. And well, the other,
really like,
he's like, lights out, losers. We're going over to get some tail on the other side of the camp.
Like,
yeah, that's a bit, like, that was a bit much, like, as well.
Get some tail.
Get some tail. Like.
There was a couple of moments in this episode that I actually thought, like, huh, that seems a bit much.
Yeah. That
was
when you're an adult and you've watched it back, because, you know, you're so ensconced having watched it as a kid. They put that on when I was a kid? Like,
yeah, I know. And then I did like the line where Lisa's like, it's like, I think I'm going to die. Or I think we're going to die. Yeah. He's like, oh, we're all going to die. It's like, I meant in here. It's like, me too.
Then we're in jolly old England. Krusty is slurping down a bowl of strawberries. Hey, Lando. Joke. that really dates it for me. You're watching Lendl versus Becker. It's like I think Lendl was like coaching Andy Murray for years.
Really?
So like, yeah, it just sort of dates it like
so
that.
So
like,
long ago, you forget.
And it's like, will the harlequin in the third row please keep his voice down?
It's like,
he's sitting next to the Queen.
Sorry, Your Majesty.
Yeah.
And then it's weird, actually, that he's getting knighted later on by the same queen after that performance.
He's a rogue, and she...
Yeah, I suppose.
She's taken by him. Anyway, next is the letter from Marge, and they do...
Or Lisa's letter?
No, this is the one from
Marge. Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I hope this letter finds you well. Homer's in the best shape of his life. You see Homer doing, like, one-handed push-ups, like, just killing it. And
really better off without the kids.
Absolutely. And they're like, we miss you terribly. And I hope these jelly bean cookies will tide you over.
Yeah.
Which Kearney is eating them. Like, these jelly bean cookies suck.
I was waiting for it to be like, these are delicious. They suck.
Throws it away. And now it's Lisa's letter.
Which we, I believe, have a clip of.
Oh, brilliant.
Because I thought this was quite a nice sort of, not nice, but it was well written.
Yeah, it's, you know, far from nice.
So let's play it here.
Dear Mom and Dad, I no longer fear hell because I've been to Camp Krusty.
Our nature hikes have become grim death marches.
A snake bit me.
Back in line, maggot.
Our arts and crafts center is, in actuality, a Dickensian workhouse.
Come on, wimps. These Gucci walls have to be on the streets of Hong Kong by Friday.
Bart makes it through the days relying on his unwavering belief that Krusty the Clown will come through.
Krusty is coming.
But I am far more pessimistic. I am not sure if this letter will reach you, as our lines of communication have been cut.
Giddy up.
Now the effort of writing has made me lightheaded, so I close by saying, save us! Save us now! Bart and Lisa.
kids' letters from camp.
Oh, she complains now, but when we go to pick her up, she won't want to leave.
I really like the end of that clip where she's, like, delivering the it's like his payment is like a bottle of scotch or something. That was great. Like,
I think that was a call back to a movie. I remember reading about it when I was reading up about this episode, but I can't remember what it was. I think it was like a Meryl Streep movie or something.
Yeah, okay, I could see that. Like,
it was like a call back to that. But
they're up to, you know, they're having a rough go of it. They have to make, you know, wallets to be on the streets of Hong Kong. These fake Gucci wallets.
I like as well. I think just with the letter, that how, like, when they're reading it, they're like...
Afterwards, yeah.
Like, they're completely just dismissing it. It's like, okay.
But, like, Bard is, like, rocking back and forth. Krusty is coming. Krusty is coming. Like, losing it. Yeah, and then they're having, you know, a grand old laugh over it.
Yeah, they won't want to leave.
And then it cuts to your scene there where the roof gets blown off. Yeah.
The only thing about that was just, I thought it was weird. It seemed so out of place. Yeah. Like, where he's like, I'm getting a job. Or like, next summer I'm getting a job. But like, there's no wind, there's no sound effect.
Yeah,
the they're just both hanging on and there's just nothing happening. It seemed like a real, I don't know, just an odd scene in the middle of it.
We cut back to Homer and Marge, and he is sensually massaging her shoulders on a lovely 4th of July evening. Maggie is just running around. That's what I always said. Like, they have their baby with them all the time.
The whole time. Like, what's Maggie doing?
Put her in the cot, like, if you're going to get on with this. Anyway, we'll miss the fireworks, he says, and he's got all the fireworks he needs right here. Thinking Marge, no, actual he has fireworks. A box of fireworks. Classic.
And then I guess it cuts back to Camp Krusty.
Yep. And
which I believe we have a clip of.
I know that clip. Krusty. We are flying with the clips here.
Well, kids, I promised you a little treat in lieu of dinner, and here it is. The man who took an abandoned mule tannery and turned it into a summer wonderland, Mr. Krusty the Clown.
See? I told you Krusty would come. Just like I said, he's gonna bring us food and water and smite our enemies.
Now, I must tell you, kids, Krusty has laryngitis on a bad back, so he won't be saying anything or doing anything.
Krusty looks fat.
He's really having trouble keeping his balance.
He's still funny, but not ha-ha funny.
That's not Krusty the Clown!
What do you think? I slapped a clown suit on some wino?
Yeah, Bart! I am so Crunchy the Clown!
All right, that's it. I've been scorched by Krusty before. I got a rapid heartbeat from those Krusty brand vitamins. My Krusty calculator didn't have a 7 or an 8, and Krusty's autobiography was self-serving with many glaring omissions. But this time, he's gone too far! We want Krusty! We want Krusty! We want Krusty!
No, we want Krusty! We want Krusty!
I thought you said you broke their spirits.
We did!
You broke nothing!
I actually really like this scene. You know,
Crunchy the Clown.
Yeah. You know what I liked about it as well? I mean, apart from the fact that it's clearly, you know,
Barney.
It's like, I love the line. It was like, he has a bad back and laryngitis, so he won't be saying anything or doing anything.
I like how Barney just breaks character.
Yeah,
like, oh, okay. Like,
plus, one of the scenes that I thought was a bit much was when, like, you know,
like, poor Barney is like, he is at a very, very, very low ebb here. Like, he's like rocking back and forth, can't say
a thing. How would he have had to even travel to Camp Krusty for this gig? Like, just the logistics of him getting there. I remember thinking it was a bit much, because like when Bart's like, that's not Krusty, and then like, I really like the line where about this like autobiography, it was like,
yeah, it was self-serving,
yeah, with glaring omissions. Yeah, but then like when the Mr. Black says to Jimbo, whatever, it's like, you told me you broke their spirits, and just slaps him across the face. I remember thinking like,
you broke nothing.
He's a kid, like, I was like, jeez, Mr. Black.
So then I think they run off, Mr. Black and the camp counselors, and the guys, you know, the revolt has started, basically, and
it's like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, absolutely. And they free the Christmas hams. They get to go and gorge themselves on sweet freedom, which to them is gruel.
Oh yeah, all the gruel they can eat.
Yeah. And we talked about this next scene earlier on where Lisa is like throwing out the packages.
Yeah.
And some of them are brownies.
Yeah.
For Kowalski.
Wiggum for the first time.
A change of underwear for old Ralph. And Crandall, he gets, very important, insulin.
Classic.
And we see Bart is like pulling up the Camp Bart flag. And Lisa says it should have been named Camp Freedom. Then we jump back over to Merry Old England.
Oh, yeah.
And I dub the sir, urgent call for Mr. Clown.
Like, in what world would he interrupt a knighting? Like, not even, like, wait a second.
Yeah.
It's going to be important.
Oi, Gabal!
I love when Krusty gets proper Jewish. Yeah, yeah.
So we're back at Simpsons HQ, and you're talking about your tantric.
They're just doing yoga. Yeah. They're having a great time.
Your neck is a well-cut piece of asparagus.
So we interrupt this report.
We interrupt Sadruan Madrabamdad's yoga party for this special bulletin. Crisis at Camp Krusty.
What I loved, I thought that was so funny as well, when Homer is like, the whole time he's like, and we get to, I believe we get
yeah, but I just like a little preamble from Kent Brockman before, and he's like, I've been to Vietnam, Afghanistan, and Iraq, and I can say without hyperbole that this is a million times worse than all of them put together.
And then it comes to Bart, and I love that line. Homer's like, don't be the boy. And then instantly Homer gets fat and bald.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you root for Homer so much, and sometimes.
What I liked about it as well, because like, when Krusty finally gets there to see them,
yeah.
And like he's like, God, like all this, I love his whole thing. I was like, because Bart's saying, like, how could you let an inferior product or whatever?
Just want to jump back to that before we go, when it's like, I just want the world to know this is a real crappy camp. Okay, can I say crappy on the air? on this network. Like, Kent Brockman. There was just, like, a lot of little good bits in there with Kent Brockman. Kent Brockman's great. He was great. He's like, you know, great. These school-age Spartacuses. But, yeah, then like you're saying...
He's basically apologising, and I love the fact he's like, they drove a truck full of money into my house. Check out that made of stone.
A bit before, it was like, Krusty actually going to the camp. He's like, I don't know about you parasites. Get out of there. You got to work, mate.
Just the photographer.
And then little homage to Sean Penn there, punching a photographer. Yeah. That's what that was.
What I liked about as well, when they're getting him to prove who he is, because they've already had the fake Krusty. He's like, I'm the real Krusty, and all this sort of stuff. And they asked him the question about like who played a role in like the short-lived sitcom.
President Clinton. I don't know her name, but she held up a liquor store last year.
And so I guess they're looking to see if it is.
They smell bacon, according to
Bart. So they open his shirt, they see his pacemaker scar, his third nipple, and all that, and...
Yeah, like I said, Bart says, how could you? I'd never lend my name to an inferior product. He's like, I drove a dump truck full of money up to my house.
Classic Krusty.
And he's like, this camp was a nightmare. They fed us gruel, forced us to make wallets for export. And one of the campers was eaten by a bear.
No!
Well, the bear just ate his hat.
Was it a nice hat?
Oh, yeah.
No!
I really like barreling down the home straight here with like this episode. It goes from them taking over the camp to it being over very quickly.
Well, like, it's like, I'm gonna treat you to the best 2 weeks of your life in Tijuana, and then like it's just stills of them in Tijuana, and then
which is it. I think it's like a nice little montage to end it all with South of the Border playing underneath it and all. But yeah, just like it goes from, I guess, like, if you're looking at it from a movie, that there's a whole bit you could have put in there before Krusty got there. Like, see a little bit more what they get up to when left to their own devices. Like,
I thought that there was, and that was, we should say, the end of the episode then, the credits roll. But I thought that, looking back on it, there were a lot more sort of holes, not holes, but, like, sort of dips in the episode. Like, it didn't seem like it had... almost like a proper ending.
Yeah.
Like it was a proper
ending. Just like, ending, okay, how do we end this
thing? How do we end this in 20 seconds? Yeah. Like, considering
they use that trick a lot in animation, though. It's the same thing with, like, some of the stuff in Family Guy. They cheat a lot. Like, it's
he
drove his bike and off the cliff and was never found. It's like, and that's just wanting to wrap up the episode. Like, you know? But, like, yeah, they can do... I think they earned enough goodwill at this point as well. Even though it's only, the start of
season 4. It was fine.
Yeah.
Like, it was for a joke. Like, I'm not watching The Simpsons for, like I'm watching a movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, what the hell? It's just like, I'm watching it for the laugh. So, like, you know, you wanted to have a good story to it as well. But, you know, it got a bit of a chuckle where it's like, day
one. Yeah, I actually really love that line.
You know?
Day one.
Plus the song that they play as well. Down Mexico way. I like that.
So we talk about how we felt about this episode, or
let's get into it.
Okay, I really enjoyed it. It's a great one to start with. Like, I think but it's very light on Homer.
Yeah.
And Marge, like, you know.
I tend to dislike until they really got into the flow of it a couple of seasons in, but like. Like that, it was like the Homer episodes were really.
And there's some coming up in this like season. Looking ahead, that is like that are pure Homer episodes, or like where it's like when you know he becomes his own religion, the state or not, whatever.
I almost would have liked. I was like for an episode called Camp Krusty. Like Krusty's one of my favorite.
You characters. Want more Krusty?
I wanted more Krusty. Yeah. Almost even if Krusty played the Mr. Black character, you know what I mean? Like not in the sense that he. Is like line for line, but just that he's corrupt, and then I guess at the end they can still have that.
So he's like Ben Stiller in Heavyweights.
Yeah,
that's what you want.
He's just taking the piss and so just in that sense, like the best characters I guess weren't, because Bart and Lisa can only do so much. You're sort of depending on.
They hadn't really developed Nelson even. He would have been a perfect sort of fit in around there. Like,
my favorite character of the episode had to be Mr. Black.
He was your favorite character?
He was your favorite character. It's just that voice. I don't know why.
Again, he's not even it that much.
I know. Though. That's the thing. But he probably gave me the most laughs just from listening to him talk.
You think he's episode MVP?
Maybe we
should come up with this come forward. Like, as in, who's our favorite character of the episode?
Including the main cast?
Yeah.
My pick is going to have to be Mr. Black, I would say. Who's yours? Who beats Mr. Black?
Just for, like, what, moments? Pure laughs or whatever?
The sergeant?
Yeah. And he's an episode MVP. He's only in it for, like, 10 seconds.
Literally. Well, what a
delivery. Got me the biggest laugh. I would have loved to see more of him. Like, where did he go?
Yeah, him. Like, I mean, if he's just standing there behind
even that, Black, like...
Like almost that role of your man. He's like, listen up.
Freaks. What's his name? Oh,
I can't think of it.
Chalmers.
Is like
Leopold.
They had the ingredients there.
I just had it in my head that he was in it more.
I did too.
Yeah, and it was just like 20 seconds.
I forgot he was just in that one little scene.
But I do like, there's a lot of good stuff in here. Like, there's a lot of, I like the stuff at the start with the school.
Yeah,
like, you know, Bart's dream, I thought it was done very well, and he's like, you know, smashing it in. And I like, as I was saying, we talked with the teachers already.
Yeah,
quite good.
Yeah, I like it.
It
seemed it was getting a bit more, not even adult, but just jokes for like no kid would get 36, 24, 36.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, so they're acknowledging. Well, like it got whatever 12 million. Viewers, so they obviously knew that it was obviously really popular. Like,
and that's perfect stage, though. That time, you know, to watch with your son or daughter. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Great. I'll watch The Simpsons with them.
Yeah,
I can enjoy it. They can, they want to watch it with the parents.
Because it's arguable that, like, you know, as the seasons go on, even at peak Simpsons, that, you know, sometimes maybe young kids, wouldn't be that interested in it because it's almost veered almost completely for adults, but in a PG sort of setting. But I liked it.
Apart from the fat camp part, have you got like a favourite moment?
A favourite moment?
Yeah.
The biggest laugh I got was the Christmas ham line. I don't know
apart
why.
From that, it's just that delivery. Is there a close runner-up, Brent?
I liked the one Mr. Black. I don't know why.
It's great. It is great.
I know. I keep banging on about Mr. Black, but when he's like, I'll pass you over to my best friend. All that sort of stuff. I just thought that was really funny.
I think the crunchy the clown. It's like, you know, that's another peak part of the episode where it's like, I know this is coming. This is you know, a good little set piece for lack of a better
word. Still in nowhere. Here's this thing. What?
Like actually, though, we didn't talk about it. It was like. Barney starts joining in. Krusty, we want Krusty.
Poor Barney.
Yeah.
What would you give it as a rating?
See, this is kind of hard. I don't know. Like, cause I did like it. Like, you know,
Let me rephrase the question.
Yeah.
What would you give it now versus what would you give it, like?
I'd seen it like
when you were fresher. Eight.
Yeah. I know what you mean, though, like, because I've obviously seen it so many times, but, like...
I'm trying to get, first time you've seen it for,
as an adult,
to seeing all the episodes that follow.
I don't know, it's kind of hard because, like, I do really like it. I'm just wondering, like, what median we're scoring it on or whatever, because, like, say, if this is a 6 out of 10 Simpsons show, that's a 9 out of 10 in most others, against most other regular shows, like, you know... So it's kind of like...
I think we've got to stay in the Simpsons realm. Like, I would still watch it over most other things.
Yeah, yeah. But, that's what I mean. Like, in terms of, I guess, against other Simpsons episodes, I would give this, like... I'd say, like, a good, like, six... Yeah. 6.5 Christmas hams with Crisco dripping out of them.
Ooh. All right, so 6.5 with good intentions.
Yeah. What about yourself?
I'd probably give it a 5 out of 10.
5?
Only because...
Wowzers.
And I don't know why, looking back on it, it seemed funnier to me looking back, or like the when I first seen it, I had in my head, like, oh, that's a hilarious episode.
Yeah.
It did have hilarious moments, but there was a lot of sort of filler. And then when I was looking forward as well at some of the other episodes coming up, even in this season alone,
you wouldn't. Like,
you know,
you wouldn't have it above then. It'd
probably be towards the end of
the lower
end. If I was listing them in order of favorites, it'd probably be in the late teens.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the episodes go. So I give it 5 speckled hams out of 10.
Speckled?
Yeah, is that a thing?
It's Christmas. Christmas
five hams. Steamed hams would clearly be the reference to go with here.
No, it wouldn't, because it's not in this episode.
Yeah, I know, but Simpsons. We're in the Simpsons universe.
Yeah, but to this episode. Why didn't you say, like, 5...
Christmas hams.
No, I said Christmas
God
hams.
Damn it.
Why didn't you say 5 giant balls whacking into the side of a school?
I can't believe it. Yeah.
Well, you know, 5 extra hairs growing on top of Homer's head. 5. You can't use Christmas ham. I'll use Christmas ham.
They're all good. 5 insert reference hairs.
you better pick your game up, buddy. All right, next episode.
All right, I'll come up with something better.
Yeah.
But I
think that outdoes it.
What is the next episode on our list? I believe it is a streetcar named Marge. Is that the name of the episode?
Well, it sure is.
Join us for that, won't you? And thanks for listening.
Marge! Hey, Marge!
If you like that, tune in.
your thing. There's your dance. All those hits I remember. I'm your friendly disc jockey trying to tell you it's time to get dancing, baby.